listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Bright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
Started this morning. I want to welcome everybody to Gateway. So glad you're here with us today. I'm excited about this series we're talking about, Building a Better You, and I'm really excited about this particular message. It's one of my favorite ones so far out of the series, because today we're going to deal with habits. How many of you have a habit? Anybody have a habit? All right. How many of you are, your habit is lying? Okay, you're the ones that didn't raise your hand. Everybody has habits. I believe in habits. Habits are good. So it's important that we all have habits. But first, before we get into that, today's message is called Reclaiming Your Habits. So I'm going to give you two quick definitions, the two definitions of the two words I just said, reclaim and habit. If you would, go ahead and give me the reclaim definition so everybody can see it. Basically, if you watch DIY Network or Home and Garden TV, whatever the channels are, you know that whenever people are building a house, nowadays, especially, the cool thing to do, the green thing to do, is to use reclaimed materials, right? What is a reclaimed material? Well, it says right here, to reclaim is to bring uncultivated or wasteland areas into a condition for cultivation or other use, to recover in a pure or unstable form from refuse discarded articles, or to bring back to a preferable manner of living sound principles, ideas, or to tame. When it comes to materials, though, what they do is they will go in and they'll look at a junk pile. They'll go to an old house that's all busted up. They may go to an old barn and grab a barn door, and they will reclaim it. They'll take that old barn door, they bring it into a brand new house and turn it into a table. You ever seen somebody do that before? My in-laws just spent I don't know how much money building an addition to their home. The addition to their home is about the size of my home, okay? It's a big, big addition, and it's like two rooms. So it's amazing, just big, big, huge rooms, right? Well, they built this addition to their home, but my father-in-law, his mom's house got torn down. They sold the old house, and it was a house that he grew up in, and they sold it to this company that wanted all the land. They came and demolished the home. Before they demolished the home, my father-in-law went over to that old house and grabbed two of the doors of the old house and brought them back to his house. So whenever they built the new addition, they used those old doors as a part of the new addition. Why? They wanted to reclaim what was on the trash heap. They reclaimed it and gave it new purpose, new life in a brand new home. So let's look at the word habit for a second, since it's the next part of what we want to do. And a habit, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but basically a habit is an acquired practice or behavior that you do, and you do it so much that you don't even think about the fact that you're doing it, right? That's a habit. Habits can be good. Habits can be bad. Habits can be really gross and ugly, right? How many of you guys know people that have habits, or you have habits that are good habits, all right? We all know people with good habits. How many of you know people with ugly habits? Anybody know someone with an ugly habit? Okay, excellent. Like picking your nose. Obviously, very ugly habit. You don't want to do that. I remember in eighth grade, sitting in social studies class, and I always knew the smartest kids in the room were the ones that picked their nose and ate it. I don't know why. I think it's brain food for them. It's like recycling. They're reclaiming something. But there was this kid in my class, and he used to hold up his book. And the dumb thing is, the people that were sitting on the side of him could look past the book and they could see him. And he just pulled it right down to his mouth. This guy's a dirty habit. It's a dirty habit. And if you're doing it today, I will call you out on it. But everybody's got habits. As a matter of fact, the Wright family, all the men in the Wright family, my wife can tell you what I'm about to say, all the men in the Wright family have this one habit that we all have. And as a matter of fact, I'm seeing it passed down to my kids, especially Emma. Emma's one of the worst now, even though she's not a man. She's gotten this habit from us. And look, this habit I'm about to tell you has nothing to do with thinking we look good. Look, I'm one of the world's worst at being, what did you call it? Man, I can't think. Whenever you don't think you look good, huh? Self-conscious. I'm a very self-conscious person. I mean, look, I'm 33 going bald. You know, I don't think I'm going to get put on the cover of People magazine anytime for, you know, 50 most beautiful people. But when I was a kid, especially, I mean, when I was a kid, I was, you know, a buck 40 out of high school, crater face. You know, I mean, I was just that guy that got picked on. So I don't think I'm not prideful. But you put a mirror anywhere within eyeshot of me, I'm going to look at myself. Every time. Get it from my dad, got it from my brother, both of them. If we're walking past a store and they got a tinted window where you can see your reflection, we'll run into a pole because we're too busy looking at ourselves. Just checking it out, see what's going on. You know what I'm saying? I'll see my daughter do the same thing. We've seen our kids before, my daughter and my oldest son. They'll be sitting there at the breakfast table, and I've seen my kids before sitting at the breakfast table, and all of a sudden, for some reason, they're doing this. What in the world are they doing? And I look back, and they can see their reflection in the microwave. They're just looking, just, what's up? How you doing today? Yeah, yeah, just checking it out, you know? And so we've got this habit of always looking at ourselves, any mirror, any reflection, we're going to do it every time. Am I right, babe? She knows. And so it's very, that's a bad habit as far as I'm concerned, because one day I'm going to end up in a car accident because I'll be looking in the mirror, just check, make sure, and boom, hit somebody. As a staff, we talk about habits a lot of times. Anytime you've got a public speaker, if you watch, public speakers are going to have habits. A lot of times you'll see people get up and they're, you know, and they do the habit, right? I try my best not to do the habit, but I've adapted other habits, and so has the rest of the staff. Pastor Marcus, he's not here today. He's down in Mobile. He's down there working, and they've been sending me pictures. They're doing a great job down there getting that building ready. But there we go. I got the butt-ums today. Pastor Marcus has this habit of repeating himself or repeating you.
Yes, parrot.
We call him the parrot. If I said, for example, hey, guys, I'm going to run up to Walmart.
Up to Walmart.
Up to Walmart. I'll say, y'all, excuse me for a minute. I'm going to run to the bathroom. To the bathroom. And we finally got where we're like, Marcus, what are you doing? Why do you do that? Do what? He doesn't even know he does it anymore. He just repeats what everybody else says. Now, we've made fun of him so much over the last couple of years that he's starting to get it under control. But every so often, the parrot rises up. We make fun of Pastor Shane sometimes. If you ever notice Pastor Shane, whenever he talks, we say he does the box step. If you'll watch Pastor Shane, a lot of times whenever he's talking, now when he's preaching, he tries not to do it because he tries to work the crowd. But if he's ever talking to a smaller group of people, he will definitely be talking, and he'll step up, he'll step over, he'll step back, and he'll step back over. He's talking to you, and he's just doing this, and he's not even paying attention. He's stepping, and he's just doing the same box step. He is working a hole in the floor the whole time he's talking. But quite possibly the worst. Quite possibly the worst so far. And it only happened maybe twice. Happened once for a long time, one whole sermon. But when we first started Gateway, some of you might remember this. I hope you don't. When we first started Gateway, back when we were over at Pinson Valley High School. Anybody who all was here at Pinson Valley? Okay, a lot of us. Yeah. Y'all might remember this. One of the first sermons I preached at Pinson Valley High School, I don't know why I did this. But for some reason, as I'm talking, I started touching the buttons on my shirt. At the same time, it looked like I was tuning in Tokyo. So the whole time I'm talking, I'm standing like this, just twisting away at my buttons. And Pastor Shane and Pastor Marcus on the floor, they're laughing. They're like, what are you doing after the service? And I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, the whole time you're up there twisting yourself.
I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
So the next sermon, I got up to preach. And right as I'm getting into my point, I go, no. You know, I put my hands down. I'm not going to. I'll preach with my hands in my pocket for a little while. I've got to break that habit. So everybody has habits. Sometimes we got good ones. Sometimes we got bad ones. Sometimes we got goofy looking ones. But you all have habits. Even the people that claim to be spontaneous, you've got habits and routines like the rest of us. You habitually are spontaneous, right? You ever seen that person before that smiles all the time? Kind of makes me mad sometimes, you know? Because you know life is bad and they're still smiling. They show up and you're like, they got the big old smile on their face. You're like, hey, man, everything must be going great for you. Look at you. And they're like, yeah, my house just burned down, man. My dog died. You know what I mean? They're just smiling. You're like, what in the world? Get that smile off your face and cry. You know what I mean? But it's a habit. It's something they're so used to, they're accustomed to. They've done it so many times that they can't not do it. That's a good habit. We've got bad habits. You know, there's habits. I've heard of people. There was this preacher one time, and he went to prison. He obviously had a bad habit. He had a bad habit when it came to money, and old fella got put in prison. So he's in prison for a while, and while he was in prison, he picked up a bad habit. And that dude cussed like a sailor in prison. So he gets everything right, gets out of prison, and one of the first things he does out of prison is a pastor wants to try and restore him and knows he's saved, knows he's serving God, gets him up in front of the congregation and lets him share his testimony. The whole time he's sharing his testimony, he's saying, that Satan, he's a real MF-er. You know, you got to watch out for the GD. And they're like, all the crowd's going, oh, you know, and he's just steady cussing up a storm. Good person, bad habit. Paul had the same problem. Paul says in Romans 7:15, if you look in Romans 7:15, here's what the Bible says about Paul. He says, I do not understand what I do. For what I do, what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. Paul sounds like me a lot of times. I don't understand half the stuff I do. It's funny, sometimes the staff will say, hey, what did you say yesterday? And I don't know. I get up and I talk, and then I don't know what I say. You know, sometimes words just come out of my mouth. And Paul says the same thing. He says, look, I've got these habits that I do. I don't want to do them, but I do them. I don't know why I'm doing them, but I do them. The things I want to do, I don't do. And the things I hate doing, I end up doing. That's one thing I like about Paul. He is so real. He is so normal, right? How many of you have ever felt that way? You've ever felt like, I wish I could stop doing this, but I can't stop doing it. I wish I would do more of this, but I can't get started doing it. And so we end up in this habit cycle that ends up hurting us if we're not careful. As a matter of fact, today, if you're taking notes, here's a good thought for you. If you ever lose control of a habit, that habit will gain control of you. If you ever lose control of a habit, that habit will gain control of you. When I was a kid, some of you have heard this story before, I was playing football in my front yard. And that's what we did in my front yard. We always played football, and we played tackle football. And I remember I was on the same team. Me and my friend Mark were on the same team, and Mark was always a big kid. He's a big man now. But when we were kids, he was always bigger than everybody. Even though he was a few years younger than us, he was always bigger than us. And his cousin was playing with us. Now, his cousin was older. We were maybe 12. His cousin was probably 14. But his cousin was small. He was our size. And I remember his cousin takes off running. Now, Mark's not going to chase you down. He's too big for that. But his cousin tried to juke past Mark to go around for a touchdown. And Mark literally threw his big old arm out and clotheslined his own cousin. To the point his cousin went horizontal. I mean, just boom, hit the ground. His cousin's mad. He's, you know, ranting and raving. And I looked over at his cousin. I don't know why I did this. And I said, man, shut up. And I threw the ball at him. I said, get up and play. His cousin commenced to jump on me. And me and the cousin, we're starting to go at it. We're punching, and I just feel like all of a sudden I've got the upper hand. I mean, I'm punching this kid in the face. Just poom, poo, poo. And I get him down on the ground. I'm putting his head on the ground. Just poom, slamming his head down. Now, my dad always taught me, son, you keep fighting. If you don't start it, which I probably did start that one kind of. He said, if you don't start the fight, you keep fighting until somebody pulls you off. Well, I punched him a few good times, slammed his head in the ground a couple of times. It was grass. Don't worry, it wasn't concrete. And I got off of him. And that's when he said words I will never forget. Okay, now it's my turn. And that cousin commenced to just wail on me. He beat me like a redheaded stepchild. He threw me down on the ground and was just pounding away at me, beating me all in the face. Thank God he didn't hit my nose or my eyes or my mouth, and I would have had nothing to look at in the mirror. But but he hit me all over, man. And I'll never forget that as long as I live, the fact that I lost control of the fight and the fight got control of me. Same thing will happen with your habits. You lose control of a habit, good or bad, and it will gain control of you. Look with me, if you would, to 2 Peter, chapter 2. We're going to look at verse 19 real quick. Because I like what Peter has to say on the subject here of habits and control. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 19. And the Bible says this. They promise freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. And this is the quote I want you to see. For people are slaves to whatever has mastered them. You become a slave to whatever has mastery or control over you. It's not just a matter of a bad habit. It's a matter of you becoming a slave. Today, I don't want to just talk to you about your bad habit of whatever it is, cussing or whatever. I'm not real concerned about that. I'm concerned more about you being a slave to anything. God did not call us to slavery. God called us to freedom. God called every one of us to live a life free, not bound, not under control of somebody else. And whenever we allow a habit to gain control over us, it becomes an addiction to us, and it becomes our master, and we become the slave. It's important for you to understand that today. If you look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, it is for freedom that Christ has set you free. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and don't let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. God has called you to freedom. He hasn't called you to slavery, to anything. He's called you to freedom. As a matter of fact, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, Jesus speaking, he says, no man can serve two masters. Either he's going to love one or hate one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. What's God saying here? God's saying, I don't want you to have two masters. I don't want you to be in slavery. I don't want you to be bound up. So get control of your habits. Get control of those things that you're living with. I like in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, Paul says, I will not be mastered by anything. In other words, Paul goes ahead and says it. He says, I won't be controlled by anything. I'm not going to let anything on this earth take dominion over me. Now, Paul's not saying I'll never be in prison. Paul's not saying I'll never be a slave. Matter of fact, we know from Paul's life, he was in prison at one point. He's talking about spiritual matters. He's talking about emotional matters. He's talking about things that he can control. He will not allow them to control him. Folks, we gotta make sure today that we understand that God is out for our freedom, and we can't get in the way of that. I think that's one of the biggest problems we have as Christians sometimes is we desire, like Paul said, I want to do good, but I end up not doing the things I want to do. We get in the way of what God wants to do in our life. God wants to set us free. God wants us to walk a life of freedom, and we end up getting in our own way a lot of times. I like what Romans chapter 13 says. I want you to look at that real quick, and we're going to use this verse again later. Romans chapter 13, let's look at verse 14. It says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Paul's talking to the Romans here about how to deal with these habits, how to deal with these issues in life that are habitual, that are redundant, that are always happening, that they can't stop doing. And he says, clothe yourselves with Christ, and don't look for a way, don't provide a way to gratify the flesh. In other words, smother out the bad habits. Smother out the ability to perform whatever the bad habit is. We'll talk about that in just a minute on how we can do that. But let me give you the second thing about God. God, number one, God has called you to freedom, not slavery. Number two, God loves to reclaim people. We talked about reclaiming earlier. We talked about repurposing something earlier. We talked about taking something off of the trash heap and using it for something good earlier. Let me tell you just real quickly a couple of examples. God loves to reclaim. Y'all remember the story of Gideon, right? Remember Gideon? Gideon ends up winning a war with only 300 people. But before he won the war, Gideon was hiding from the enemy. Before he goes out as this great leader with all this courage, he's hiding from the enemy. And God finds him and says, I see you full of fear right now. I see you as a coward right now. But inside of you is a mighty man of valor. And I want you to get up out of your hiding place. And I want you to go lead my people to victory, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon's like, who, me? Right? Because he doesn't believe it himself. God is in the business of reclaiming people. There's another person named Mary in the Bible. Now, Mary had her own issues. Mary, Magdalene, was a prostitute. She was a prostitute. And we think a lot of times, how can God use a prostitute? But God loves to reclaim people. He goes and he takes a prostitute and turns her into one of the most important people in the Bible. Gets used all throughout the New Testament. Another person God reclaimed was Paul. Paul is probably one of the biggest reclamation projects known to man. Paul was originally called Saul, and he was going around killing Christians. His job was to kill Christians, snuff out churches and gatherings, and arrest people. That was his only purpose. Until one day God found him on the trash heap and said, I can reclaim this. God found him in the hands of the enemy and said, I can reclaim this guy. I can use this guy. And he takes somebody whose whole purpose was killing and destroying and imprisoning and using him to go about bringing freedom to other people. God loves to reclaim. And by the end of this message, I want you to know that God wants to reclaim you. He wants to reclaim your life. He wants to reclaim everything the enemy's stolen from you. God wants to reclaim everything. The other thing that God likes to reclaim is he likes to reclaim our habits. Now, I want you to think about this for a second. What you may see in your life as a bad habit, I believe that God can use for good. Now, think about it. The Bible does say, it says, what the enemy meant for evil, God wants to use for good. Look with me, if you will, a couple of thoughts here. Number one is Peter. Every time we read about Peter, whenever he's at work, what is he doing? He is fishing all night. Right? Now, we know Peter was married because eventually Jesus has to heal his mother-in-law. And so we know Peter's got a family. Why is he fishing all night? You know why I think he's fishing all night? The man's kind of a workaholic. Either that or his mother-in-law was living at home and he wanted to get away. I don't know. One of the two. But Peter is like this workaholic. I've got to go to work. I'm always doing something. It becomes a bad habit to Peter. Now, I know none of you are workaholics in here, but you probably know somebody that is. You probably know somebody that can't sit still, somebody that can't stay home, somebody that's always at the office or always at the job, because that's just, it's become this habit, it's become this lifestyle, it's become part of who they are. You know what God did with Peter? Jesus shows up, he says, man, you're a workaholic, Jack. I want to use you to lead people. He turns him around and uses him, takes that same attitude that he put towards working, towards fishing, and he says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. I'm going to put you out there evangelizing, winning souls instead of fishing all the time. Another person is one of my favorite people in the Bible, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. And I didn't put anything about Zacchaeus on the screen today because I don't know how to spell his name. I always get it wrong. It's wrong on my notes. But Zacchaeus, anybody know anything about Zacchaeus? What was he? Wee little man. I'm going to tell you, whoever wrote that song is just wrong, man. That is wrong. They don't need to be saying that kind of stuff about people. Zacchaeus is a little wee man. He's just a little bitty guy. And they got, Zacchaeus is wanting to see Jesus so bad. And he's just up in this little tree. And Jesus walks by and he says, Zacchaeus, get down out of that tree. I'm going to your house today for lunch. And the Bible doesn't say this, but I think this is how it happened. Then Jesus got Zacchaeus and put him on his shoulder. Come on, little buddy. Come on, little pal, let's go eat lunch. And I can see Jesus just holding Zacchaeus by his little feet, you know, and they're just walking along. And people are like, look at the ventriloquist. Like, no, that's Jesus' Zacchaeus. No, I'm just kidding. I just like making fun of Zacchaeus. One day, if I go to heaven, that will be the only punch that I get. God will be like, okay, there's one sin I will allow. Zacchaeus, go get him. That mug's going to wear out my knees, though. I mean, he's just like, oh, my knees. He'll be punching as high as he can. I'll be like, get in my pocket, little buddy. Just stay right there. And so Zacchaeus is this wee little man. Here's the thing that we know, besides the fact that he was a wee man, was that Zacchaeus was also a swindler. He knew how to get money out of folks. Zacchaeus was smart, man. He knew a lot about money. You got to be smart when you're that small. Otherwise, you can get beat up. And so he knew a lot about money. He knew how to swindle people. He knew how to get stuff out of people. And what did Jesus do? Jesus sits down with Zacchaeus for 5 minutes. And the next thing you know, just being in the presence of Christ, Zacchaeus begins to change his habit. He goes from being a swindler getting money to being a generous man giving it all back. I believe Zacchaeus was probably one of those guys that ended up providing for Jesus' ministry, probably ended up helping him, supporting him. Why? Because he became so generous out of greed, out of a bad habit of greed. God created, reclaimed that bad habit and turned it into a good habit of generosity. See, some of you, just like me, we're sitting here today and we're thinking about all of our bad habits. What I want you to think about your bad habit is, I want you to begin to think, how can God take my bad habit and reclaim it for something good? What can God take with this apparent skill that I have and turn it into something great? The best one and the last one I'm going to share today as far as that goes is the woman at the well. Now, we don't know her name, but we do know a few things about her. We know the woman at the well had a habit, and her habit was men. Her habit was going out and getting a man and getting married to him, for some reason divorcing him, and going and getting her another man. The Bible says Jesus sitting down and talked to her, and he begins to tell her, he says, look, I know you've been married. You've been married 5 times, and the guy you're with right now is not even your husband. In other words, you're just sleeping around. You've got this bad habit. You've got this bad habit with men. We know people like that. I've met plenty of people like that. You know their bad habit is always in relationships. You've met that person before. They always are in a relationship. No matter what, they're always in a relationship. They go from person to person to person. They've got this bad habit. But what did Jesus do? Jesus saves her soul. Jesus tells her about living water. Jesus tells her about his love and what eternity is going to be like for her. And the next thing you know, this old girl runs back to the city, and the Bible says she brings people back to Jesus. What kind of people did she bring? Men. The Bible never says she brought a woman back. It says she brought men back. Jesus took a bad habit, reclaimed it, and said, look, you've got this propensity for men. You've got this thing about you going and getting in relationships with men. Well, I'm going to take the ability that you have to appeal to men and reclaim it, send you back into the city, and see what happens whenever you've got me on you whenever you do that habit. All of a sudden, she goes back into the town. She starts seeing all these old fellas that she used to know, all these guys that she used to sleep with. And instead of drawing them into her bedroom, she says, no, we're not doing that today. I'm going to take you to somebody better. Let me take you somewhere where you can find freedom from the stuff we've been doing. And she takes them back to Jesus. Reclaimed a habit. Yeah. I believe God wants to reclaim your habits today. I believe God wants to take what you thought was bad and turn it into something great. Let me give you 3 quick ways that God wants to do, 3 things that you need to do today to help you on this road. Number one, if you want to get over some bad habits, if you're saying, I want to get over some bad habits, I want God to reclaim my bad habits. My bad habits are affecting my thoughts, they're affecting my actions, they're affecting my personality, my priorities. It's all affected by the habits that we want to keep up with. Maybe your habit today is, you know, we think about habits a lot of times, and when we think about bad habits, we think about smoking and drinking and sex. We think about those things. What about the bad habit of spending unwisely? That's a bad habit. I know there's lots of people out there that can't not spend. They can't not spend. I know there's lots of people out there that can't not gossip, right? You put them on the phone with one of their friends, next thing you know, they're just steady gossiping away, talking about everybody else's garbage. Those are habits too, but we always look down on the people that have these bad habits. But there's other habits also that God wants to deal with today. Maybe a habit today for some of us is fear. Maybe a habit for some of us today is negativity. There's other habits that we've got that are going to lead us into addictions later on. But God wants to reclaim them. So what do? Number one, start a new habit. We read a verse earlier in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, and it said, put on Christ, or clothe yourselves with Christ. What that word means, that phrase means, is it means to literally take on the personality of, to imitate, to be just like somebody else. Now, in the Greek, back in those days, it was a common expression. We don't really use it that much anymore, right? Ain't nobody saying, I want you to put on Pastor Shane. Wear him around. Doesn't make any sense to us, but in those days, if you said, I want you to put on somebody, clothe yourselves with somebody, it meant that you were going to imitate that person. Start a new habit. Well, where do I start? Start with Christ. Start with Christ. What are the habits that he had? What are the things that Christ did? What was his life like on a daily basis? Choose something that he was and put it on yourself, and you start doing it. I notice a lot of times Christ has faith. If you read your Bible this morning, one of the things that the story of the sea, the storm at sea, and Jesus gets up and says, you got to have faith. Talks to the wind and waves, they all die, right? Sometimes we are so full, we've got a habit of doubt, and we need to start putting on a habit of faith. You look at Christ, he had a habit of prayer. That's a habit. It was something that he did on a regular basis. Some of us need to put on the habit of prayer. So we need to put on a habit today. As a matter of fact, Philippians 4:8, we used this last week or 2 weeks ago, I can't remember now. And it talks about whatever things are pure, whatever things are noble, whatever things are excellent, think on these things. That word think there isn't just to use your brain to think about it, but it is to see what you can do to obtain those things. What is the writer saying here? He's saying, finally, brothers and sisters, get some of these habits. Find things that are true, that are noble. Find things that are right and pure, lovely, excellent. Find those kind of things that you can put into your life, that you can obtain into your life, and make those habits for your everyday walk. We need to start new habits today. Number two, we need to strengthen the good habits we have. The Bible says, don't grow weary in doing good. You need to strengthen the good habits that you have. If you find yourself with a good habit, maybe you got a good habit of being an encourager to other people. You need to strengthen that. You need to put more into it. Habits are like muscles. The more you use them, the better they're going to be. Strengthen your good habits. Maybe you're one of those people that you've got no problem getting up, reading your Bible. Maybe you're not all that great at it. Maybe sometimes you mess up. You miss a day here or there. Strengthen that habit. Man, get up, read that Bible every day. Maybe you're one of these people that, you've got some good habits. Maybe you got a habit of just worshiping God, talking about him. Strengthen that habit. We need to get rid of these old habits, and we need to get some good habits and then strengthen the ones we already have. And the last thing is seek help for bad habits. Seek help for bad habits. In James chapter 5, verse 16, it says we need to confess our sins one to another, right? It says so that you can be healed. You want to get over a habit? Find you somebody that you trust and tell them about your bad habit. I'm going to tell you right now, that helps you get over the habit. When someone else knows your business, you're not going to want to do those bad things anymore. Whatever the case is. You begin to tell someone else. We need to seek help for bad habits. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, there is no temptation. God's not going to put any temptation on you but what is common to man. He's not going to allow any temptation but what is common to man. And whenever you do get tempted, he will provide a way out. So we confess to our brothers, and then we depend on God's provision to get rid of our bad habits. You may be tempted to do something. You may be tempted when you get around somebody to begin to talk a certain way or act a certain way. You may be tempted to do some things that you shouldn't be doing. And I promise you, God will provide a way out for you if you'll just look for it. I had a friend of mine one time, and he struggled really bad with lust. And he did some of these things. He told us. He said, man, look, I'm struggling with lust. I need you guys praying with me, helping me out. And I remember one time we were sitting, the pastor of the church we were going to had called about four or five of us and wanted to do an illustrated sermon. And man, we felt like, hey, okay, you know, that's pretty cool. We get to be the ones doing the illustration. And so we went to the church to practice the illustrated sermon, and it was me and this guy, and there was this lady that showed up. And she wasn't part of our crew of young guys that were together. She was this other lady. We didn't really know her. And she showed up, and she was also a part of it. And I remember the lady walking in, and she had a really low-cut top on. And I thought, ooh, that's not good. And I remember my friend, the lady came, she sat down, and she turned to talk to us. And I remember it took all of about 15 seconds. And my friend that struggled with lust stood up, looked at me, and said, I can't do this. And he walked out of the room. He gave up getting to be up in front of, you know, however many thousand people in front of the church. He gave up getting the recognition and getting to be, you know, in the limelight. Because he said, right now, I can't be here in this situation. God provided a way out, and he took it. How many of us, whenever we're facing a temptation for our bad habit, whatever that bad habit is. See, today, I don't want to get so focused on the big things. I don't want to get so focused on lust and drinking, because that may be a small minority in this room. I do want to focus on those things like being negative. When we get around someone that's negative, when we get around somebody that has zero faith, when we get around somebody that you know, is going to be doing something, talking a certain way or acting a certain way that we know we shouldn't be around, God is going to provide you a way out, but are you going to take it? Are you going to take it? We need to depend on God's provision, and then we need to walk in that provision. Let me close with this last thought. A habit can be one of two things. It can either be a wall of protection for your life, or it can be a wall of captivity and slavery. See, walls are good. Walls are good at keeping bad things out, but walls are also good at keeping things in. Whenever you build habits into your life, you can have bad habits and they're going to keep you bound. You can have good habits and they'll keep bad stuff away. There's plenty of times I get tempted in life. Plenty of times I get tempted in life. One of the things I've got to do, and one of the things that I do, is I build good habits in. Build good habits in. And look, not all good habits are reading your Bible. That's a great habit, but I mean, we ought to do it anyway because we're Christians. Not all good habits are praying. That's a great habit, but you ought to do that anyway. Sometimes a good habit is doing work around the house. Sometimes a good habit is, you know, fasting lunch and saying, yeah, I'm gonna just take this lunch break off because I know at lunch break everybody in the office, man, they're talking nasty, they're doing this stuff. I'm just gonna take a break from that, separate myself for a little bit, and create a good habit. Maybe I'm gonna go for a walk. Maybe I'm gonna go to my car and pray. Maybe I'm gonna go just do something different. You can create good habits, and those good habits will be walls of protection around your heart to keep the enemy out. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.